Good morning. Actually, it's not really a sermon. It's more a chance to stand up in front of you and reflect upon some thoughts that have been percolating in my heart and mind and that I wanted to share with you this morning. So, we're blessed to be the recipients of some just wonderful teaching here and preaching at North Woolwich, and whether it's from our pastor or from others who were able to step into the pulpit, and just been so blessed. This will not be one of those Sundays. So, it is good to be with you all this morning. My name is Mike Clark. Most of you know me, but I am husband of Rebecca and father of Will and Nathaniel, and been attending and a member of this church for 17, 18 years now, and I'm the newest member of our PPR committee, and it is in that role and capacity that I'm bringing these thoughts to you. So I apologize for the lack of slides because I only really completed these thoughts late last night. So wasn't able to provide slides. So you just have to hang in there with me and I'll try to be animated. And first let's open with prayer, please. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the chance to come together with my brothers and sisters here this morning, truly. And God, I ask, as David prayed in the psalm, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May these words and the conversation we have this morning be encouragement and strengthening to my brothers and sisters here. We ask this, be with us, in Jesus' name, amen. So, serious, this is not going to be a sermon, all right? As a PPR member, I've had the opportunity to kind of step up and pause and reflect a little bit more, maybe in a different way, on the direction and mission of our church. And what it is that God is calling us to be. What does it mean? What does it mean to be the church? Who are we as this local expression of God's church, God's body, the body of Christ? And also been able to join with our other PPR members and our pastor and staff in times of intentional prayer about our church, about you all, about what God's doing in your lives and in our lives and what God may be calling us together as a church and its role in our community and our direction. So my purpose today is to share with you what is on my heart regarding who we are as a church body and where I sense God is calling us. It's important for me, as I keep trying to say, that you consider what I'm about to say as words coming from one of us, another person who sits in the pew, regular guy who's sitting next to you on Sundays, who's like you, is thinking about these things. And in some ways, I really see this as part of a conversation, not a sermon. It's a conversation that I've kind of been having with myself in my own head, and it's one that I think we need to be having as a church community. So to sort of center my thoughts in this conversation, I'd like to open by reading from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 19 through 25. And that does sound sermon-like, doesn't it, to open the scripture? But I would like to do that. And it's not up overhead, so you're going to have to find a pew Bible, and I didn't even look up the page number to tell you. So Hebrews chapter 11, verses 19 through 25. And as we read, make note of the lettuces. All right. The lettuces. All right. Oh, hello, testing. So as we read, make note of the lettuces. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. So, Pastor David's most recent sermon series, which has been awesome, on the Greek word, remember the Greek word? Alleluia. Which means one another. As it appears in all through the New Testament, but particularly as we've looked at in the writings of John and Paul, that concept of one anotherness really provides context for what I've been reflecting on as I approached this morning. And I found myself going back to listen to the sermon a couple of times, which is a cool thing, and I urge you to do that because it's streamed on our church website. So as I've reflected on that, first, since this is a conversation and not a sermon, I'd like to start by pulling back the curtain a little bit on my own life. So, as I think about my relationship to this church, to you all, and what God has for us, fact is, I'm pretty busy. I'm really busy. Rebecca's and my days are packed pretty full. And to be honest, I am exhausted most of the time. Most of you know what I do. I am a primary care physician in a small practice in Newcastle. And I have the privilege of working with a really amazing team. You got a lot of you folks know my team and have some of you come to our practice. That team includes our very own Haley Doak, PA extraordinaire. But despite that rich and wonderful, wonderful opportunity that I have, I don't punch a clock. I'm a primary care doc. My work is never done. I'm also the owner of the practice, which means that I'm the business manager, the finance manager, the facilities manager, and the responsible party when anything goes wrong. Anybody own their own small business knows exactly what I'm talking about. I also teach medical students most weeks, and I even do some consulting and liaison work for the local larger health system on my days off. And just to keep me from forgetting my responsibilities, our family lives in an apartment right in the office building. So, and like many others, other businesses, and certainly the healthcare system, we're still feeling the repercussions of the COVID-19 pandemic. So the idea of leaning in, the idea of taking on one more thing, the idea of what is my role in the church, part of me says, I don't think I need one more thing in my life. But what does it mean to be the church? And what is my part to play So, as David pointed out last week in the sermon, and as we have come together around these ideas around what does it mean to be the church, we can't get away from the fact that if I believe I'm called to follow Christ and his priorities and what's important to him, as we look in the Word, we realize that following Christ is inseparable from his plans and purposes to build us, all of us, together into his body, the body of Christ. And so, if that's his priorities, if that's what he has for us, then I have to figure out, I have to consider, not necessarily figure out, but I have to open my heart to and consider how that plays out in my life. I have to make room for that. All of us need to. Because it turns out that my relationship with Jesus Christ is an us thing. It's not just a me thing. From our passage this morning, it says that drawing near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings is accomplished together. It starts off, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. Holding unswervingly to the hope we profess is done together. It's together that we hold to that hope. The author of Hebrews says, let us hold unswervingly. And then, of course, he brings it home with, let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, and let us not give up meeting together, but let us encourage one another. Turns out that I need more of you in my life. That I can't get to where God is bringing me apart from my relationship. Authentic, intentional relationship with all of with us as a body. So I would suspect, I'm sure that most of you have would say that you've experienced the deep encouragement and authentic fellowship that we have here in this church. Regardless of how or when or where, how that connection may have taken place, whether it's Sunday morning, between services, over coffee, in the parking lot, hanging out after church, having those conversations, sharing our lives together, gathering at the fall frolic or Bible study or men's or women's retreat. There's been these moments where we have had those conversations that really whereby we bring our lives together. And that's been our experience over these past 17 years. And also, by contrast, I suspect we really felt it, that sense of genuine loss and separation. We were suddenly had to stop services and we're away from each other for a while. That was really weird and that was difficult, and I felt it. I felt the absence of our connection. Even though we were close in other ways and shared prayer and did the video link and all of that, there was a loss. And maybe some of you have come from churches where regular weekly small group or cell groups or whatever you want to call them were a vital part of the church life and your own spiritual growth. I know that was true for Rebecca and I in the church we were attending before coming here, that the small group was just key to our experience of fellowship of church and us growing as a young couple. But, you know, maybe some find the prospect of coming together with others in a small group setting to be intimidating, or find it to be a place where they have to deal with other people's expectations, or try to put on a spiritual happy face, or try to fit in with people they don't necessarily feel like they fit in well. But as I have prayed for our church and for myself and my family, and have spent time with the members of PPR and the church leadership, and have spent time considering the words that have been shared from this pulpit, Paul's words in his letter to the Romans or John's epistle to the churches, I am convinced that finding a way to regularly and intentionally come together with a small group of believers from this church, regularly, intentionally, in addition to this gathering on Sunday, the Sunday worship service, is necessary, is going to be the key for my own spiritual growth and maturity. And I think it's going to be key, it is key for our church's health. So what is my vision for this church as I pray? My vision is that we would prayerfully consider ways that God might be speaking to us to come together in new ways and group settings that enable us to more intentionally, more regularly share our lives and encourage one another. Several members of our church have stepped up and expressed interest in leading and hosting small groups, and have identified that to the PPR, the pastors. And I'd like to present to you all this, that you would consider that, that you would pray about your own participation in looking for ways to come together as a church. This is how I see a prospect of a small group or a cell group or a weekly group. I see a small group as a place where we pause in our busy weeks. We carve out a space in our lives, and we hold that space open for each other, a sacred space where we listen to and accept one another just as Christ has accepted us, from last week's Romans 15:7. In that place, we get to bear witness to the work of the Holy Spirit in one another's lives. Simply bear witness as we share our stories and just begin to share our lives. I see a small group in the church where we come together as a place where we help each other find God in those unexpected places. If you read Yancey's book, Finding God in Unexpected Places, well, when we come together and listen to each other's stories, we get to help each other in that, to explore and probe the front lines of our otherwise humdrum, regular, normal workaday lives, not our spiritual things that we did, but just looking for God in our front lines. I see small groups as a place where we can come together and end up being moved to pray for each other, because as we share, suddenly your week, your normal week, your work week, your ups, your downs, becomes my week as I listen to your story. And my week and my struggles become your week, your life. And suddenly it matters. The struggles and the ups and downs of my week by being shared are elevated. And that place of kind of mutual sharing and concern, we can bear witness to God's activity in each other's lives. And in that sharing, we become reflections to each other of God's loving concern for us, of his attentiveness. As we attend to each other, we reflect God's attentiveness to us. I think this is the way forward for us, for many of us. Now, we're all at different places, and we're coming out of this pandemic, and we're coming out of kind of you know, stepping back from things and trying to figure out what is okay to come together and physically and be together. So it probably will take different forms. But I think, as I pray, this is my heart. This is what I think I'm being pulled towards. And what I suspect, I'm not alone in that. And actually, I said this is a conversation. I've been doing all the talking. I'm curious if anybody has a thought or a response to what I've said. Has this been something that, as you have come through this past couple of years or have come through whatever God is doing in your life, if God has been speaking to any of you in any similar way? If you've noticed a little bit of the distance or the absence of your brothers and sisters and are thinking, I want to see more of this in my life. I want to see God working in this way. I need those connections. And yeah, I think this is what God is doing. Anybody have any response? John?
We're great proponents of this, and having small groups is very important in the life of the church. Would you, having come just on a practical level, come out of COVID, what do you think? What do you see? How would you comment on small groups and the fears of COVID?
Yeah. We keep wanting this thing to be over. And COVID comes up from time to time in my daily life. Should I get a booster? Should I not get a booster? Can I do this? I went to my cousin, saw this, and I went and they had a sniffle, and they can I gather with my friends? I don't know. So we're not out of the woods with COVID yet. Our hospitals, gratefully, are not filled with people on ventilators. We are at a different place in this pandemic. I think we need to extend a lot of grace to each other. Everybody has their own level of comfort or discomfort with what's going on and have good reasons. COVID still represents a significant risk, but not like it did. So as we invite others into our lives, as we begin to share in some of these ways or explore opportunities, we might need to be flexible. We might need to think about using Zoom, having a screen up for those who really feel like they don't want to sit in somebody's home and be in that close of a proximity for that long of a period of time. Maybe it's outdoor groups. But at the same time, I think we need to realize that we've come from this time of separation and being away, and is it okay to be close? And we need to think about it. We need to think about how to come together. So I think there's ways we could do this. Jan? Yes.
Meeting in person is wonderful. Like, I felt starved for it when we couldn't meet in person. I was so ready for it. But so I think there is a way, and people can learn about it, to do a combination of the both when necessary.
Right. I think so, too. Yes, Brian.
Just on from a personal standpoint, growing up in our household, Raw. Dinner was our small group back in the 60s, 70s when we were kids. And then Mark and I tried to emulate that with our kids, that time becomes sacred for us to come together as a group. And which, definitely the worship service, our Sunday meetings are that too. spiritual culture to get together, meet together.
Yeah.
I like how you said carve out a time for us.
Yeah.
And it is key. And it gets pushed back, whether it be COVID or work or having kids and family and everything. Life gets crazy, but we have to carve out those times.
Yeah.
We might not normally have done.
Right.
So, but God really blessed that, and appreciate your bringing that up.
And that makes me think of that beautiful example of harmony in the sermon last week. You know, you open up your home and you greet a step in, to open up your heart to a diverse group, not just people you might have an affinity for, and God shows up in these unexpected ways, and you come together, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is not unison, this is harmony, and you make room for the Holy Spirit. Michael.
Yes, being a doctor, have you had any experience with life after death?
Not any more than I think a lot of us. I mean, I've been at the bedside of many people as they passed, but I don't have any specific insights other than the hope we all have.
People coming back.
Oh, nope. I have not. That's right. Jan. Yeah.
And that you like really enjoy. But God has sometimes prompted me and reminded me of this person out there that is not, they're alone. And they really need the fellowship. They need to be invited in. And so I think a home group is a great place to do that. That lonely person, that person that's been divorced or lost their spouse, we don't do that enough.
Right.
And I think a home group is a wonderful place for that person to be able to so it's if we start home groups, it's important not just to say, oh, my friends and I, we want to get together.
Yep.
Let God bring to your mind people that need to be loved.
Amen.
And it can be a great place to invite a person who's not ready to come to church yet. A person in your life that it will be a safe place for them to experience being around Christians and hearing what that life is.
Thank you.
So that's you know, you have to make sure you don't make the circle too small. You don't want a large group, but you don't want to exclude people that God may be speaking to you about inviting them.
Exactly. You know, yes, Nancy. Amazing. Part of me is just like, I don't need one more thing, right? As I said, and I get a lot. I do people for a living. A lot of people with needs coming at me, right? And yes, it's a blessing to do what I do. It really is. And they come into my house. So do I really want a bunch more people coming into my house and having another group to deal with the people? You know, but that's not what it is. This isn't another thing. This is holding open the space and saying, all right, I'm going to come together. I'm going to hold open the space. For me, it's going to be like, oh, no, I mean, it's not like, oh, I have all this to give and I'm really spiritual and I can't wait for everybody to come so I can impart some gift to you all. You know, no, it's going to be, oh, no, it's Tuesday night. And there they are showing up at my house. And then it's like, oh, God, there you are. We've come together and you showed up and I didn't know that I needed this. And life is different. My week is different. You know, my life is transformed by the presence and shared time. That's how I see it. Yes.
Yes. So we're kind of like the traveling
conversation.
I mean, sometimes it's hard to penetrate, like Glenn was saying, other groups of people that kind of like each other sometimes, and feel like we're the outsiders, because we kind of are. And for God to be putting that on my heart, it just feels like, well, we want me to do that. But it has been a really strong message this summer. So I think that is, something we really should engage in.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Yes.
I have to say what Jan said is true because it was my experience. I was not ready to come to church. I had no interest in coming to church. And I came to your home group. And you all, okay, I wasn't going to get the blimp, but you all welcomed me with open arms. You welcomed my questions. You welcomed my, I don't know about this. I don't know about that. You welcomed me, and you opened my heart, and here I am every week, and I love this place, and I love this church. But homegroup, that's where you really get to know one another on a different level, and so it's an important, I think, an important thing in our life.
Thank
you,
Ellen.
By the way, for welcoming.
Thank you, Ellen.
Your open arms.
John. We bought John 10% royalty on all of his paintings. Sandy, did you have your hand up? Thank you. So, thank you all for sharing that. This is very validating, and this lovely woman over here.
All the time. We learned from each other and grew from each other.
So there's just a lot of different ways things are unfolding.
Thank you. So, yes, Sandy. Oh, yes.
And you touched upon part there. It was like 15 to 16 years every Wednesday on this thing. But you became very close to the families that were individuals. Families. You became part of it, different than we do in a congregation meeting here or a men's group or anything. It's a little bit different, especially when you have it for a period of time.
Right.
If you haven't tried it, it's a great thing. Now, Spensky still did it here, and it was shut down because of COVID. And, even Ellen was asking last week, do you think we can get together? And I'm still concerned about going into a home. I don't mind a place with a big ceiling here and the windows open and what have you, all be maskless. But, that is a concern, and they've had the COVID, and this sort of thing. But where, when they go with you, people get to know each other. At their group, we've had people that don't belong to this church. Hmm. There's neighbors that Ellen walks with and all that stuff. Yeah. And it's so interesting on the feedback and the things that you share at that kind of function. All we need is guys like you to figure out what to do with this name of hope. To get rid of it, but it concerns me, the air that we're breathing in a home that has a low ceiling and it's great, and I miss it. I really miss our Wednesdays and getting together and every 8 years or so in the French group in Texas. It just added to it.
Thank you. Yeah.
So many things.
Matthew.
The most important thing for me is carving out a certain time in my life to go to God. Not that I don't do other things in my life to that, but to actually take that time out of my week. And I have 3 or 4 different carved out times during my week, because that's when I get grounded. Mm-hmm. And I need other people. I keep wanting to think that I can do everything on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm constantly reminded I need other people.
Thank you. I don't know if I feel this more because I'm a physician and I'm supposed to know stuff and have the answers and people come to me in that capacity, but exactly, I need others to help me carve out that space. And I do. I keep going back to, I think I need to do it on my own. I got to figure it out on my own. I got to do all this on my own. And that's not true. You look again and again. We are pulled back to the truth that it is us. It is in fellowship. It is in relationship. And, as David was saying, that great problem in the English language where the singular and the plural you is the same word, and we read it as singular when it's really us. So, all right. I sure hope the second service has as much participation as the first service. thank you. Let's close in prayer. Lord God, thank you so much for this group of people, for this expression of your body. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for the way you help us to see you in the context of our relationships with one another, as we see you reflected in each other's lives. God, thank you. Lord God, I pray that you would give us direction and wisdom as we consider engaging in small groups and figuring that out, God, especially in this season of the pandemic, Lord, and I just pray that you would speak to each of our hearts as to what it is that you are asking of us, what that participation may look like. And God, I pray that you would relieve us of preconceptions, good or bad, that you would help us to just be open to what you have, to give it a try, to allow you to do something new in our hearts and our lives, something unexpected. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to help one another to find you in those unexpected places. We commit ourselves to you as we commit ourselves to one another. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody.